Simply His Coffee Shop. So if you missed last week, you must go back and watch it. It was an incredible show. We are in the midst of a four-week series talking about Donna Howell, Tom Horn, and Ali Anderson's newest book, The Mystery of Jesus, From Genesis to Revelation. And it was just fantastic conversation. So please go back and watch that. So today is week two of this series, and we are going to be talking about probably one of my favorite books of the Bible, because you don't think about Jesus being in the book of Ruth. But Donna's take on how Jesus appears in this book is just phenomenal. So I'm super excited for today.
Exactly.
So Donna, let's dive right in. The book of Ruth and Jesus appearing in the book of Ruth.
So in the book of Ruth, spoiler alert, there is an archetype of Jesus in Boaz.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about a little bit of that. But also, there's this other thing that people do not understand about the kinsman redeemer.
Okay.
And how that foreshadows something that's actually yet to come that has also happened in the past. It's this beautiful revelation picture. So I can't wait to talk about that. But I want to kind of precursor some of this by explaining that the book of Ruth is just not at all what a lot of people understand it to
right.
be. We skim right past it. We heard at the break that if there is a message on Boaz, it's, you know, well, Ruth got really lucky. End of story.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was a reward for her faithfulness to her mother-in-law.
Yes.
Right. So here's the deal. First of all, I want to look a little bit at who Ruth was, what okay. Moab was, because she was a Moabite. She came yep. from Moab. So the city of Moab was actually built on a story of incest mm-hmm. between Lot and his daughter. That Lot was passed out drunk and his daughter took advantage of him. And this happened in Genesis 19.
Yep.
So think about how automatically from day one, Moab is a blight on the map
yep.
to Jewish people, the God-fearers of the original day. Jesus, stay away from the Moabites. Don't even talk to the Moabites. They come from that town of incest. It's that incestuous blight on the map town. All right. We do know that the Jews were prohibited from interacting to some degree with the Moabites. We read about that in Deuteronomy 23. They're never to
associate.
Come into the camp and, you know, intermarry into the families or whatever. Now, there, some people would immediately hear that and go, well, then hang on. How was Ruth and Boaz allowed to be married?
And the interesting fact you're saying that is she's actually one of the ancestors of Jesus. He was born into that line that she came out of. I just think that's really interesting. Anyways, go ahead.
Ruth was a great grandmother of Jesus.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. When people hear the book Ruth and they wonder, why is that in the Bible? What mm-hmm. can we glean from Ruth? They do typically go to that genealogical angle mm-hmm. and they say, well, you know, it's in there so that we can trace the lineage of Christ.
Historical
well, if that was
value.
True, then why are we all these other women that should have been involved in the lineage
right?
of Christ?
Exactly.
The female begats.
There's so much to be said about this 4-chapter book. It's itty bitty, so quick to just skim over it and miss all of the beauty that comes from this book. Other reasons that Moab was actually considered to be like this terrible, forbidden place. King Mesha actually sacrificed his son. We read about this in 2 Kings 3:27 when Israel retreats.
Yeah.
By the way, scholars have talked about this. The reason that Israel retreated in that moment was not out of fear. They had no reason to fear in that particular moment. And it's a long explanation, but to squash it down, they saw the smoking, charred prince. And even Josephus and the other historians note that the reason they believe that Israel retreated because they saw this smoking, charred prince and they were like, back out. This is just a sad day.
Yeah.
Moab was a horrible place. Mm. You have no idea what the women in Moab would have been known for.
Yeah.
So Ruth is already just this like walking controversy on legs. And we start this book about her and she's following this gal named Naomi and it's her mother-in-law and she's married to a Jew. The book does go into how they would have been allowed to intermarry and because she was a woman and not a man. And it was the, you know, how the lineage worked. The book addresses all of that, but the bottom line I want to make here is that Ruth is not how she looks like in the Christian coloring books.
Mm. Okay.
She's not this veiled, modest, we have no reason to believe that she would have been that kind of woman. She would have been that other kind of woman that's prohibited from interacting with the Jews, okay? So King Mesha and the smoking charred prince, that was the norm in Moab. this is the incestuous child sacrificing city.
Mm. Wow.
That Ruth grew up in.
Yeah.
Goodness.
So that's just a little touch on what's going on with Moab. Now, Boaz, let's take a couple of looks at how he interacted with her.
Yeah.
And that we know of, he had no reason for any of the following. First of all, he blesses her freely to gather from his harvest. He tells her to enjoy the company of the other Israelite women at the site where she's gathering food. He informs her that he's already instructed the men to leave her alone so that she's not harassed.
Yeah.
And then he goes one step further and he says, it's been showed me all that you've done for Naomi, your mother-in-law. And then he goes as far as to call her a virtuous woman in Ruth 3:11. So I could ask you, first of all, does this remind you of anyone? I'm going to read an excerpt from the book. I like excerpts because if I'm going to buy a book, I want to know how the book reads.
Yeah.
Think about this for a moment. Boaz did not say she could only have food from his land if she was willing to pay interest, earn her keep, work extra hours, pay him any personal favors, or any other requirement. He didn't ask her about her former husband, her past in Moab, whether she plans to corrupt his other field maidens with pagan ideas, whether her lifestyle was such that she needed to be under supervision while she drank from the same vessels as the men, what hair-raising temple activities she may have participated in back home, if she believes in tithing, whether she has memorized her denomination's fundamental statements of faith, whether she had ever smoked a cigarette or if she felt tempted to smoke a cigarette, how she feels about dying eggs on Easter, how long she's been a member of a local church and whether she's current on her membership dues, or whether blonde was her true hair color. Nothing. Okay, yes, we realize this is sarcastically anachronistic, which means out of correct space and time, right? But our point is made. He did not even care about her moral codes or reputation, which was huge in Israel's history.
Sure. Yeah.
Might we learn something from this story about the way that we treat people outside of the church today?
Wow.
She asked him, why in the world would he ever show her such kindness, acceptance, and grace? And his answer was quite simply because she had done it for Naomi. So I ask you, do you hear this echoing on the coattails of Boaz's statement? If you listen close, you might be able to hear the verse we have in mind straight out of the mouth of Christ, echoing Boaz's convictions here. Truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me.
Yeah.
Matthew 25:40.
Yeah.
Then we find out that Boaz is Ruth's kinsman redeemer.
Okay. Right.
Now I got to explain a little bit about what that relationship is, because you hear kinsman redeemer and in church, it's just kind of vague. They're like a cousin or an uncle or, you know, second cousin twice removed that has some kind of, he's going to buy you with your land.
But it's because we're all part of the family of God now. So kinsman is just another family-ish type word.
Right.
Like that's how a lot of times it's explained.
No, yeah. But this role was actually a very legally important role in Israel's history to truncate. A kinsman redeemer was the only person who had the legal right to buy back land or property, including wives, elderly children, anything that belonged to that property.
Okay.
I know there's probably people right now watching and going, I'm already offended that a woman would belong to the property. Well, they did. That's history.
In order
to remain in the family, if he fell on rough times or whatever, the kinsman redeemer came in and they were a kinsman relative or somebody who was able to redeem the property and keep it in the family, including the wives, the children, the elderly, all of the property, everything. This comes from the Hebrew word goel. Now, this is why this is important, because that's throughout the whole Bible, something that is very key, not just to Ruth, but to the foreshadowing of what Jesus did.
Okay.
Okay. When a kinsman redeemer was going to keep something into the property, there was a scroll. Now, what would happen was they would write the terms of the contract, all in legalese, on the front and back of this parchment paper.
Okay.
And then the parchment paper was signed on the outside at the bottom by the witnesses. And they were the only person allowed to break the seals on this scroll. It would be rolled up and sealed with these wax seals. The only person legally ever allowed to open that contract and view the terms of sale was the kinsman redeemer.
Yeah.
So Boaz was this for Ruth. We'll come back to Boaz in just a second, but flip to Revelation 5:1-4. This is the scene in heaven where we are viewing the terms of the contract of our salvation as written on a scroll in heaven, right? And I, this is John, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that's God, a scroll written within and on the backside. See how it's describing exactly what I'm saying? Sealed with seven seals. Seven is the number of God. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals thereof? To open up this scroll that has the yes. terms of the mm-hmm. salvation agreement yes. between God and himself.
Yeah.
As it will be carried out through the someday Messiah. Who is the kinsman mm-hmm. redeemer?
And by mm-hmm. who's worthy, it's also who has the legal right.
Right.
Not just yeah, who's exactly. good enough, but who has the legal right and entitlement to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the scroll, neither to look thereof. If we stopped there, there's a reason that John is weeping in this scene. I would be weeping.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because by not opening the scroll, that salvation that's on that contract can't be accessed.
It can't be accessed.
Forever.
It cannot ever yep. be seen. Yeah. Right.
Lost.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Prior to Christ, there was no person in history that could ever be worthy to redeem humanity, nor has any human person ever been kinsman to God.
Mm. Wow.
Think about that. A relative to God right. and to humans?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, there's only one of those.
Yes. Yeah.
You know
right?
what I mean?
Right. Yes.
Wow, in cool. Boaz terms, we were living on a property with no owner, doomed to wander the earth forever as no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, would be able to open the scroll and consider any kind of repurchase or resale of our spiritual conditions to another caretaker who would see to our provision. But in the very next verses, Revelation 5:5-10, we are introduced to the utmost kinsman redeemer, capital yeah. K, capital R, Jesus Christ. Listen to this. And one of the elders, that's one of the witnesses who were present at yeah. the time that the scroll was was sealed, and therefore one of the only ones who would have known what was written on the inside, right?
Right.
Saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, Jesus, as it had been slain. And he took the scroll out of the right hand of God, who sat upon the throne, saying, thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open the seven seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's only one person able to open it. Okay. So what follows is a scene of praise wherein every living creature, both in heaven and on earth, worship the Lamb who was the only kinsman of humankind with the right to break the seals on the scroll of our planet's fate, whose spilt blood was the currency for yeah. the repurchase yeah. of the land and its otherwise lost inhabitants. Jesus, the only entity in the universe who is literally kinsman to both humanity and to God, yeah. was willing to take the burden of our fate into yeah. his hands, loose the otherwise unloosable seven yeah. seals, and unroll the details of our contract for all to see and for all to inherit freely.
Yeah.
Christ was our relative. Without his blood-bought purchase, our destiny would be no more glorious than to remain spiritually lethargic while we wandered the damned corners of the earth, belonging to no one other than the prince of the power of the air and awaiting death and judgment. So here's a final comparison to Boaz for you. Boaz's gentle, loving interactions to Ruth never once required her to account for the pagan, child sacrificing, incestuous religious worldview she was raised in, as he simply redeemed her in front of witnesses and elders.
Yeah.
In front of witnesses and elders, making nothing of her life before but a distant and irrelevant memory as he bought her and brought her into a new life and new promises. Mm-hmm. It would be into his loving arms that she would remain and never look back to what the world tried to make of her, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Listen
yes.
to this.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus's gentle, loving interactions with the human race never once requires that we live in bondage over past baggage or sin.
Right. Amen.
No matter how grievous our wages of sin and death, new life awaits all inhabitants of this property, earth. And Jesus submitted himself to the cross willingly, paying the price for the redemption of our contract in blood, without a single person being required to first stand and account for who he was or what he did before we found him. In front of the heavenly elders, Jesus tore open that otherwise unopenable scroll in front of the witnesses. We are truly the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. Yes. New life, new promises, and it is into his loving arms of Jesus and into the Father that we fall into accepting this most generous and gracious gift that we could have never earned, while we never look back to what the world tried to make of you. Behold, right. Yes. The Jesus of Ruth.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Do you see what we miss when we skim over those four chapters?
Right, exactly. Wow. And I love that it's still relevant today, you know, and women can really relate to this.
Right.
Whatever is in our past, whatever has happened, the world tries to keep us there. And you know what? Yeah. Forget what the world tries to do. We keep ourselves there.
Oh, boy.
Do we not just beat the tar out of ourselves all the time? You make one mistake when you're 5 or when you're 10, and you're never going to live that down, you know. And yet, the redemption is there for us to be free of that, you know.
Surrender.
Accept God's forgiveness and forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the end of it.
Right.
The end.
Yeah. Well, we have a friend that came on the show, and she had talked to you and I about that. Deanne, she came and did our parent classes, but she was talking about that. She's like, they're behind you now. You need to keep moving forward. Yeah. Don't look back.
You
nothing
can't
back
drive a
there.
Car using the rearview mirror.
Mirror. Yeah. Exactly.
But watch a woman try, because I'm telling you, we beat the car out of ourselves. If we can drive, we're looking in the rear view going, yeah, but when I was 21, we're going to do it. That's just what we do. We got to unwire that, but that's a different show.
We do need to take a really quick break so you can find out how you can get these amazing books. You need to get them and expand your knowledge of Jesus in all 66 books of the Bible. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Donna Howell, Dr. Thomas Horn, and Allie Anderson team up to bring you their magnum opus. Introducing the brand new 3-volume anthology from Defender Publishing, The Mystery of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. This new collection is being described by those closest to Dr. Thomas Horn as the most important body of legacy work he's ever written. And it's being offered right now in Skywatch TV's largest giveaway of the year. Skywatch TV is proud to announce The Mystery of Jesus Grand Giveaway. Volume 1 of The Mystery of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation begins in the Old Testament and reveals multiple ways that Jesus made personal appearances on earth called Christophanies prior to his birth through the Virgin Mary. The many links between Mount Sinai, the Day of Pentecost, and the Ascension from astounding but largely hidden revelations in the original Hebrew and Greek. How the words of the prophets regarding the someday Messiah preceded a 400-year season of silence and anticipation that led to disastrously incorrect interpretations of who he would be when he arrived, and so much more. Volume 2 begins in the New Testament and demonstrates what social and political events transpired during the intertestamental period that led to a movement of numerous false messiahs whose military pursuits splintered the Jews into various disjointed sects, each with their own misguided, documented messianic expectations. How extra-biblical and apocryphal books written around the time of Jesus give fresh insight on New Testament characters, their true identity and reputation, and how that affects proper biblical interpretation, the real and largely misunderstood purpose of Christ's ministry years on earth, and why there is an apparent deficit of miraculous manifestations in our day, and we're barely scratching the surface. Then Volume 3 moves directly to the Apocalypse, where you'll learn clear-cut, comprehensible explanations behind even the most enigmatic and hard-to-understand symbols in Revelation that anyone can read and understand. How Jesus, present and active in all 66 books of the Bible, makes his grand and final entrance in shining glory to welcome into the New Jerusalem all who receive the free gift of salvation. And we're just getting started. Presented in 3 brand new volumes, The Mystery of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation is organized in a way that is guaranteed to fascinate and boggle the minds of everyone, from seasoned scholars to new believers. This is the life of Christ illuminated like you've never experienced before. When you order this incredible collection, you'll also receive the new Best of Defender Publishing ebook collection on data disc. Now, for the first time, this must-have assortment features 120 of the most information-packed best-selling books in Defender history, including the never-before digitally released version of the Defender Family Bible, featuring Old and New Testament with expanded Apocrypha. These full-length works are in popular ebook formats, so you can read them on Kindle, EPUB, PDF, and other handheld electronic devices. Give this collection as the ultimate gift to somebody you know this holiday season, or take them with you wherever you go. Valued at over $2,000 all by itself. But that's not all. With the holidays just around the corner, now's your chance to save big and receive bonus merchandise. As included in the Mystery of Jesus grand giveaway are any number of brand new super quality overstock gift books, DVDs, or audio sets to add to your library or give away as gifts this coming holiday season. season. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $2,000. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This is the largest giveaway of the year, just in time for the holiday gift-giving season, and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Mystery of Jesus Grand Giveaway. Available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back. This has just been such a fascinating conversation. So much to Ruth. Did you guys know that about Ruth? All of that information?
Lots of stuff.
It's just, again, it's one of my favorite books of the Bible because it does make you curious too. What was Ruth like? What was Boaz like? What was their love story like? They had a baby together, you know. He brought her and Naomi in, and then Naomi got to be a grandmother finally because she had never experienced that yet. And Ruth was able to give that to her.
And Ruth was part of the bloodline of Jesus.
Yes.
So talk about the ultimate redemption, you know, women who are feeling like they've had to step up and do so many things because for whatever reason, the man they were counting on isn't there. Maybe he passed away or he's gone or whatever. And these women step in regardless of their past and say, I'm up for the challenge. I will do this because my family's counting on me. It's basically what she did. And to just let go of the past and accept the reward that lies ahead is incredible.
Well, and the thing is, Naomi was probably mentoring her and teaching her the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And Ruth was hungry for it. So that's why she forsake the Moabite traditions. Mm-hmm. She left everything she knew to go live in a Jewish society where she knew that she would probably be shunned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she did it anyways because she wanted to honor God.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an incredible thing for me.
I've always called Catherine my Ruth. Because for a much simpler than this is really a lot of information, but for a more simple illustration, and that is that Catherine, you know, she came from the islands, Solomon Islands, and had just began her life in America as an adult when she met our son.
Yeah.
And they fell in love, and when she married him, she said yes to that life, even though that took her away from all of her familiarity, the islands, her mom and dad, her siblings, because we shortly thereafter left to a foreign land called Missouri,
right?
And she willingly came. And then I have always thought that would have been the hardest thing for me to do, to just leave my entire family.
Everything you're familiar with.
All of that you're familiar with. I mean, I've moved and moved and moved, but I always had those constants in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we became the constant. And so I always get choked up thinking, I love my girls too. But to me, there's never been a difference. We've always said, these are my girls, these are my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And so on that note, I love that story. But Donna, what you're talking about is so much deeper than I ever could grasp, because that's what I got out of Ruth when I read that. She went to be with the mom. And anyway, that's a beautiful story. But I just wanted to share that.
Catherine. But when you think about it, that is four chapters out of the whole Bible.
Right?
Yeah.
And it says that, so much.
That's so deep.
That is how Jesus appears just in the book of Ruth. Mm-hmm. We got 65 more. You see why we can't cover
exactly.
What these books, we
so
cannot
for the next
cover
year
it.
And a half, Simply His is going to take one book of the Bible per week. Sorry.
I don't even think that would cover it because there's so many. I'm sure some of the books probably have way more than just this, you know.
If that's how Jesus appeared just in the book of Ruth, imagine how he appears in the New Testament in possibly ways that you didn't see coming.
Oh, absolutely.
Imagine those verses that you've read a million times.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
the surface.
You're like, what does that word mean again?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We did that a lot of times in these books.
Oh, yeah.
Giant books. But they're not like any other books. Like when you go to the Bible bookstore and you're looking at books that cover where Jesus is in the Bible, this is just so much more extensive.
Expansive, yeah.
And exhaustive. I mean, they put Donna Howell on it, so that tells you about the thoroughness right there. Seriously.
We had months of dedicated research.
True.
That you wouldn't believe the nights and the days and the sacrifice that she put
true.
Into this book.
Oh, yeah.
And it's paying off.
Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't have been able to do it if it hadn't been for my husband, though.
Well, yes.
He stepped in a lot and covered, but anyway.
Yeah. He's a good man. So, Allie, Can you please expound a little more on what you were talking about? I was really liking what you were talking about, Ruth having to, you know, go behind, and she was had a hard life.
Well, yeah, actually, during the break, we were talking about it, and Joshua, you know, was mentioning, too, that basically there are a lot of women who can relate to Ruth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, I mentioned a little bit ago that there are a lot of women who have had to step up and be, you know, all the different roles of all the necessary, you know, providership to their family and things like that. They might feel like they're dealing with a past, you know, I mean, the Moabitess, you know, she's who knows what kind of past. I mean, obviously, there was something about her that, whether it was really her or whether it was perceived as her, there must have been something that drew enough negative attention that Boaz would make sure the men knew not to harass her.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of reputation that preceded her. You know, so if you're dealing with, you know, shades of the past or whether it's, you know, your own personal memories that you're beating yourself up about, or whether or not it's people that are looking at you and remembering something you did 10 years ago or whatever, you're just stepping up. And here she is walking behind people who were picking up the last of everything, and she's trying to find enough to provide for herself and her family. You know, if you feel like that's you, if you feel like, you know, you're walking behind other people who have taken everything and you're just trying to scrap for what's left, and you're dealing with, and I don't mean literal spiritual ghosts of the past, but the ghosts that we have in our mind, you know, the things that haunt us from our past, you feel like maybe people see you as a Moabitess. God has more for you than that. And it may feel like you're stuck in that, but you have to just believe and move beyond that. And once you start to forgive yourself, you will see that there's life beyond that.
There,
because like I said earlier, you know, girls will drive in the rear view. I don't know how many years I drove looking in the rear view. You know, that's just how we are. We are conditioned by ourselves and society to just beat ourselves up. You know, and God did this in the book of Ruth.
Freedom.
And it was only a foreshadowing of what he did through Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so freedom, his love is there, and it is redemptive.
So then, I picture Ruth as she's picking the scraps up. She's going to have her head down. She's going to be looking, and she's not going to be, you know, out here.
Blinders.
But I can't help but then see that she looks up, and there is Boaz, the Redeemer.
Wow, what a beautiful picture.
We need to look up and know that our Redeemer is there.
Pay it up, pay it up.
That's the one. That's the one.
Well, there you have it. This has just been an incredible time so far, right?
Yes.
We're enjoying this. This is so powerful. Join us again next week as we continue this discussion on the mystery of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation.
And we'll bring your Kleenex.
Yes, bring your Kleenex. We'll see you next week in the Simply His Coffee Shop.